As I said earlier, this is the second Sunday of Lent, and last Sunday we began the season of Lent with a new sermon series. It was the test of Jesus, and today it's the trust of Jesus. If you think about it, Jesus exhibited an incredible amount of trust. He modeled for us what it means to trust, what it means to have confidence in other people. We use the word faith and the word trust as synonyms sometimes, and that's not a bad thing because the Greek words for faith and trust are very similar. The roots of those words are very, very similar. But there is this difference. Faith is always a noun. Trust is both a verb and a noun. So trust is faith in action. God did not need to have faith. Jesus didn't need to have faith. He was all-knowing, but he did trust. He exhibited faith and confidence. I want to share some examples today of how Jesus exemplified that for us in showing trust, and I want to apply some life lessons to you and to me. First of all, Jesus trusted God's word. There's so many examples of that in the scriptures. Here are just a few of them. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished." He said that the word of God would last for eternity. For the end of time. In John 10, he said, "The scripture cannot be broken." In Luke 11, he said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." Many people today, and I know you know this, many people today look at the Bible as just a book. A number of professing Christians, sadly, look at the Bible as just a book of interesting stories, sometimes inspiring stories, and lovely poetry. They do not see it as God's word and the power of God in those words. They even teach that some of those stories are fables, that some of those characters that we read about in the Bible were fictitious, not Jesus. Jesus told us that the word of God is true. He took those people as literal people, including some of those that are disputed today, like Adam and Eve, and Noah, and Jonah, places like Sodom and Gomorrah. Jesus trusted the certainty of God's word. Do you? Do you? Jesus also trusted his disciples. He loved John. He loved him. He entrusted to John some of the most beautiful words in the scriptures, such as, "God so loved the world that he gave his only son." He trusted Peter. "Peter, on you I am going to build my church." He trusted Judas with the finances. He even trusted Judas to take those steps of betrayal that led to his crucifixion, the awful, perhaps the worst story of execution in all of the Bible. Jesus Christ trusted those who were closest to him. Do you? Jesus trusted his heavenly Father. Have you ever imagined a conversation in heaven where God said, "Son, I want you to go there and become a baby, and be born and be humiliated and despised. I want you to give all of this up for the sake of those people." Can you imagine such a sacrifice? Jesus trusted his Father. In Luke 22, it says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Jesus trusted his heavenly Father. Do you? Now here's one that should catch your attention even more. Jesus trusts you. I will make you fishers of men. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You say to that mountain, go. You believe, and you will receive. I tell you the truth. Love one another as I have loved you. Peace I leave with them. No. Peace I leave with you. I am always with you. Jesus Christ trusts you. Do you trust Jesus? Whom do you trust? Many of us have put trust and confidence in our parents. As a child, probably many of us have experienced this, the father saying, go ahead, jump, I'll catch you. Ever been there? Ever done that? I can still see that in my mind, standing about 2 or 3 steps from the bottom. Oh, what a long way it seemed. I'll catch you. Or jumping into the pool, I'll catch you. As children, we trust our parents whether they are trustworthy or not. As God's child, do you trust your heavenly Father? We usually trust our doctors. When we get sick, we turn to our doctors, our surgeons, our nurses. We ask them for healing. Do you trust Jesus for healing? You board an airplane and you trust that the pilot is going to get you where you're going. Do you trust that Jesus is going to get you on the journey of life where he wants you to be? Those of us who are married, we trust our spouses. We trust them to love us in spite of us. Right, honey? We trust our spouses to speak the truth to us in love. We trust them to be faithful to us. We trust them to help us when we are weak. Well, do you trust God to love you in spite of you? Do you accept the truth that God reveals to you in love? Are you faithful to him? Do you trust that he is sufficient for everything in your life, even when you are weak? You have friends. You trust your friends. You confide in them. You listen to them when they speak to you. You enjoy their company. You trust them not to betray you with gossip or slander. Well, do you trust Jesus to be your friend? Do you trust him enough to confide in him? When was the last time you really had a conversation with Jesus? Do you listen for his voice? Have you ever discovered the joy of his company, his arms around you? I want to say something. Sadly, too many people, too many Christians trust the chair they're sitting on more than they trust God. They trust that chair to hold them up more than they trust the one who created the molecules that made that chair possible. We're so weak. Corrie Ten Boom said this, when a train goes through a tunnel and it gets dark, you don't throw away your ticket and jump off. You sit still and trust the engineer. Are you in a dark tunnel right now? Is your decaying body giving you problems? Is that a dark tunnel for you right now? Are you robbed of freedom because of the aging process? Is there a relationship in your life that's gone cold? That's a dark tunnel. Are you going through grief because of having lost someone or something very, very special to you? That's a very dark tunnel. Are you afraid of what might come? Don't just sit there and trust the engineer, but stand on the rock that is stronger than you and I and trust in him. Oswald Chambers pointed out something that many of us need to hear. He said, "The great stumbling block in the way of some people being disciples is that they are gifted. So gifted that they don't trust God." Is that you? Are you gifted with a high IQ? Then you may be challenged when it comes to the word trust. Are you gifted with a smooth tongue and you can sell ice to Eskimos? You may be challenged by the word trust. Are you wealthy? You may be challenged by the word trust. What if Abraham had not trusted God? What if Joseph had not trusted Mary? What if you don't trust God? Proverbs 3, 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Psalm 125, 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to false God. Again, God is the solid rock on which you can stand. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now, this message would not be complete without asking this question. Are you trustworthy? Are you like the ones we read about earlier in 2 Kings chapter 17? Here's part of what we read. They would not listen and were as stiff-necked as their fathers who did not trust in the Lord their God. They imitated the nations around them, although the Lord had ordered them, do not do as they do. And they did the things the Lord had forbidden them to do. Do you, brothers and sisters, do you live and move in this sick culture, this sickening culture that is getting worse and worse by the day and refuses to listen to God? And do you listen to them instead of listening to the Lord? Don't answer to me, but answer that to God and to yourself. As a Christian, can your brothers and sisters trust you? Can they trust you as a confidant? Can they trust you to love them in spite of their flaws? Can they trust you to be honest? Can they trust you to help them when they need help? Can they trust you to be their friend when they need a friend? Can they trust you, listen, to actually pray for them when it's listed in the prayer sheet and not just read it? Can they trust you to be sincere when you profess your faith in Jesus Christ? Can they trust you that you are morally upright before God? Can they trust you to tell the truth in love? There's a hymn that I like to sing. We've sung it here. I would be true, for there are those who trust me. You know that hymn? I would be true, for there are those who trust me. Do you mean those words when you profess them? Let's end this with some good news. God is trustworthy. Hallelujah. He knows the right people to put in your life at the right time. Think about it. Who has come before you? Who's come beside you? The right people at the right time. Right, Donna? Yeah. He knows the outcome of the doctor's diagnosis, and he knows what's best for you. He's trustworthy. He knows where the money's going to come from when you need it. Amen. Only one amen for that? He knows who you're going to be when you grow up, if you ever grow up. Have you ever tried to approach a bird? Have you ever been to a park or in your backyard and you want to approach a bird? You'd like to feed it or help it. I mean, you might even want to pet it. And so you try to inch closer to the bird and be as still as you possibly can and hope. And what does the bird do? He hops away. So you come a little closer, you're still, you're patient. He hops away some further, and eventually he flies away, and it's frustrating. I just wanted to help you. I just wanted to feed you. I just wanted to have a little closeness with you. And the bird, just think how frustrated you are that you can't reach out. Now think how frustrated God is when you hop away, when you fly away, and you don't trust him. You're just like the bird. Even when you are paralyzed by fear, you can trust God. Is there any fear in your life? You can trust God. Remember these wonderful words from Psalm 56. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. I almost had to sing, You Are My Hiding Place today because I love those words from that song. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Oh, memorize it. Memorize it. Write it down. Put it on a poster, put it on the refrigerator. When I am afraid, I will trust you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Praise God. He is trustworthy. If I could click my heels, I would do it, but I just would probably embarrass myself, so I won't do that. I want to close by reading a story to you. It's written by Jeanette Strong. She said, when my son was a toddler, washing his hair was always a problem. He would sit in the bathtub while I put shampoo on his hair. Then when I poured on the water to make lather, he would tip his head down so that the shampoo ran into his eyes, causing pain and tears. I explained that if he just looked straight up at me, he could avoid getting the shampoo into his face. He would agree. Then as soon as I started to rinse his hair, his fear would overcome his trust. And he looked down again. Naturally, the shampoo would run into his face again, and there would be more tears. During one of our sessions, while I was trying to convince him to lift up his head, and trust me, I suddenly realized how this situation was like my relationship with God. I know God is my Father, and I'm sure he loves me. I believe that I trust him, but sometimes in a difficult situation, I panic, and I turn my eyes away from him. This never solves the problem. I just become more afraid as the shampoo of life blinds me. Even though my son knew I loved him, he had a hard time trusting me in that panicky situation. I knew I could protect him, but convincing him of that wasn't easy, especially when all he could see was water coming down. His lack of trust hurt me, but it hurt him more. He was the one who had to suffer the pain. I'm sure my lack of trust hurts God very much, but how much more does it hurt me? Often in the Bible we are told to lift up our head to God when problems come. He knows how to protect us if we remember to listen to him. Now, when I find myself in a situation where it would be easy to panic, I picture my son sitting in the bathtub, looking up at me, learning to trust me, and then I ask God, what should I do? What should I do? Sometimes the answer may seem scary, but one thing I'm sure of, he will never pour shampoo into my face. Let's pray. Lord, wash us thoroughly with your blood. Cleanse us by the power of your forgiveness. And Lord, help us not to fear the things of this life that distract us, but to trust you as our provider, protector, and healer, as our Savior, as our Lord, as our friend. Lord, as you are trustworthy, may we be trustworthy as believers in Jesus Christ. And I pray for every one of us, Lord, as we walk this walk, may we talk the talk sincerely in trust and obedience to you and your word. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.